The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here, jamming to the, I believe it's the 80s. It could be the 90s, but I really think it's the 80s. George Brockler right here on
Yes, this is the 80s. Now, who is this?
This
Come
is,
on,
don't
you can't
tell
miss
me.
This.
This
there it is, right there. He just told you his name, the MC. Actually, no. Microphone.
No,
Come
I
on.
Didn't hear it. I missed
Gotta
it.
Know this.
Tell me. I know the song. I've
it's
obviously,
80s. Yeah.
I've obviously bumped my knees together trying to dance
yeah.
to this thing. Who
it's
be it?
Too. This is Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock.
Listen, there is no person that I'm aware of that has the wealth of information that you have about music from all genres and all decades.
The problem is it's mostly worthless.
I don't think right now you just proved
things,
it pays off.
There are all sorts of things that I should know, but I know this stupid stuff. No, I can't do advanced calculus. No, but I know it's Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. There are just certain files on the desktop I can't delete.
DJ Jazzy Jeff?
Yeah.
Listen, a couple of things that I want to bring to your attention, and that is, folks, I have tremendous news for you. If you didn't hear this over the weekend, and if we had the ability to play trumpets to herald in this announcement, it's important that you know what? I don't want to ruin it. I just want the man himself, the President of the United States, to announce it.
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem what? With COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over.
The pandemic is over, folks. Boop, 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 boop.
The president said, and he was very clear in his 60 Minutes interview, that COVID remains a problem, and we're fighting it. And we have to continue to make sure that we are fighting this once-in-a-generation pandemic.
This is another clawback from the statements of a president who has said, we will defend Taiwan. And then the White House had to come back and say what he really meant was book is very, very thick at this point. I don't want to spend a long time on this point other than to tell you that there is something very important about why the White House had to pull this back. It's not because the president was wrong. He was not. The pandemic is over. But if the White House declares this emergency to be over, it dries up and cuts off a whole bunch of funding for things, and it allows states to start doing things like weeding people off of the Medicaid rolls who no longer deserve it. And as long as that emergency exists from the feds, they still have cover to do things like that. And so that's pretty critical. This was never about the fact that the pandemic is over. It is over. It has always been about saying, hang on, the pandemic may be over, but the emergency is not. I don't know how those two things are consistent, but nonetheless, that was the reason why KJP, who continues to prove to be the most, I don't know how to describe this, and I'm trying to be gentle here, she is just the least skilled White House spokesperson of my lifetime. I've never seen anyone who cannot handle the press the way she can. And the eye contact, the inability to have eye contact, and the ongoing hand gesture, and the president has been so consistent, and the president has been so clear. Where's the mainstream media to call her out for lying about this? That just never happens. She enjoys a certain immunity from scrutiny that we've never seen, not in the 40 years I've been here. That's a little bit of a lie myself. But nonetheless, you know what I mean. Just ridiculous. Meanwhile, Donald Trump in the news again. I promise I'm going to get to the attorney general thing. Donald Trump in the news again. This time, he does an interview with Sean Hannity, and it kind of dovetails nicely with an interview he did with Salem's own Hugh Hewitt, who you know is going to come out here on October the 18th to do some interviews with some folks running for races we need to win. Yes, of course, Ken Buck, but Ken's going to win in the fourth. It doesn't mean he doesn't have to try or doesn't have to raise money, but let's be honest. Nobody named McCorkle is going to defeat. You've never heard that name before. That's why you know Ken Buck's going to win out there in the 4th Congress. That's my congressman, by the way. And then there's also two other folks running for some pretty big offices. Someone named Heidi Ganahl, a superstar entrepreneur, wife and mom, who is trying to unseat a guy who has never once wanted for money or comfort. And then we got a guy named Joe O'Day, an adopted kid of a Denver police officer who has built for himself a bit of a construction giant and now wants to take those kinds of skills, that blue-collar experience and that, I don't know, pragmatic approach to life with conservative values attached to it, and wants to sort of unseat another guy who, again, it does not appear has ever lived a moment of want in his life. We have the chance here to replace the Richie Riches with folks who went out and earned it the old-fashioned way. They didn't inherit. It wasn't bequeathed to them. They didn't get it because of who their parents were. They went out there and scrambled, fought hard for it. Hugh Hewitt's going to interview those people. That's Joe O'Day, Heidi Ganahl, and Ken Buck on the 18th. But here's the interview with Hugh Hewitt. We've played this clip before. This is important because, anyway, we'll get to it. Hang on. This is about documents.
I know a lot about the presidential library system. Every former president has papers that should not be with them by accident. Did you take those papers down there?
That ain't the same thing, by the way, as top secret
documents. Intentionally, or did you have any idea they were there?
Remember this. Remember this. Everything was declassified, number one. And if you look at the presidential, if you look at the act that was passed, it talks about what you can do, what you can't do, how you negotiate with NARA. And then if you look at what's running NARA, it's radical left run, radical left. And then you take a look at Hillary with
archivists.
Her 33,000 emails that were deleted, and you take a look at Obama and others, and people say Trump's gotten treated very, very unfairly, very unfairly. You just take a look.
Did anyone from Justice ever call you up, you personally, and say?
That's one of the dumbest questions I think Hugh could have asked, and I have such respect for Hugh as a legal mind and also a great talk show guy. We talked about that last week. That's just dumb. If the president's represented by someone, the FBI can't do an end run around his attorneys and talk to him directly. That's just silliness. It's unethical. And those people would end up putting themselves in jeopardy of either losing any evidence they got from him or being sanctioned. So that's just never going to happen. But the bigger point is this. This is the very first interview, and Hugh got it, where the president comes out and unequivocally states these documents were declassified. Now, what process did he go through to declassify them? Well, that's where Sean Hannity got the truth. Uh-oh, buddy, I can't hear
you. So let me ask you this question, because I think this is the next logical question, because the president of the United States, you, unlike, say, Hillary Clinton in her case,
right.
A president has the power to declassify.
Correct.
Okay. You had said on Truth Social a number of times you did declassify.
I did declassify, yes.
Okay. Is there a process? What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it. You know, there's different people say different things, but as I understand it, there doesn't have to be. If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it. And there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything. Now, I declassified things, and we were having a lot of problems with NARA. You know, NARA is a radical left group of people running that thing. And when you send documents over there, I would say there's a very good chance that a lot of those documents will never be seen again.
Yeah, like you, I have never heard of NARA before this event. But liberal activist archivists? I mean, how... What superpowers does an archivist have to be able to let their political ideology impact a job that is largely accumulating and, I think, cataloging documents and records? I don't know. Nonetheless, that is a consistent theme that we're hearing now. It's to try to malign the people who are doing their jobs. I get it. I don't know them. Maybe they are complete leftists and activists. Someone's going to have to explain to me how that's true and how it impacts their jobs. But the bigger point of that clip is this. I think I agree with President Trump that the rules do not apply to him when it comes to declassifying documents. I think that he has the authority to declassify them without jumping through all the hoops. That's not the issue I have. The issue I have is, why in the hell would you ever do that? That is a reckless decision to make. And what it sounds like is a CYA defense. It sounds like I have the authority to declassify just by shipping things out of the White House. I don't have to tell another human being. I don't have to mention it to any other agency who relies upon the security of those documents to make decisions about, oh, I don't know, what to tell other countries, what to tell agents in the field, what to tell other agencies who are responsible for the information in there. I don't have to tell them any of that. I don't have to comply with the procedures because, by God, I'm the president of the United States and the authority rests with me, period. True or not, doesn't that sound foolish? Doesn't that sound reckless? But it's the kind of statement that someone makes whose bottom line is protect me. Protect me. I did nothing wrong because I have the authority. If that's true, what he should demand right now is every single one of those documents that was recovered, that was top secret, secret, classified, whatever, be made immediately and publicly available on the internet. He should demand it right now. In fact, I'm not sure why he didn't do it himself, because they were unclassified. That is reckless. What kind of judgment is that? I mean, there's a million different answers he might have given. Like, hey, I have the authority to do this. I don't think anything I did was wrong. By the way, in retrospect, there's a process that we have in place I probably should have gone through. I mean, can you imagine what it would take for someone to just simply admit, I'm not guilty of a crime, but I did do things that I thought I could have done better? How easy would that be if the universe didn't revolve around you? I mean, and again, this is not a comment on President Trump as a policymaker or as someone who did great things. That's not it at all, folks. But this kind of decision-making for me just highlights the greatest Achilles heel for DJT, and that is everything starts and stops with loyalty to me. What's in it for me? Not America. What's in it for me? It doesn't matter who I put at risk. It doesn't matter what operations I jeopardize. Me, 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 and me. And I defy you to find a single decision he has made as president or in the years after that say he put someone else, something else, or the country before his own interests. Find me that thing. Text it in, call it in, email it in. What is that one thing that this guy has done that was bigger than just himself, or that put himself at risk, but he went ahead and did it anyway? Find me that thing and tell me what it is, because this kind of a statement bothers me, not because he isn't right, but because, oh my God, this guy is willing to undo all of this classification, all these classified documents, for personal gain. And that personal gain is save me. I did nothing wrong. I'm going to malign the people who actually followed the law, followed the rules, and followed. I'm going to defend me at their expense. The question that still ain't nobody asked him, and he has not provided an answer for, is why did he have those documents? Not could he have them, not could they be declassified. Why did he have them? My guess is it boils down to this. I wanted them. Is there anything more self-interested and self-serving than that answer? And provide me a better one than that. 303-696-1971. We've got a little more sound here. This is now the president adopting a narrative I had not heard him adopt before. A lot of you out there, not a lot of you, a handful of you who are vocal on the text and on the phone calls have made this allegation before, but here's the president giving it a little bit of life.
The problem that you have is they go into rooms, they won't let anybody near them. They wouldn't even let them in the same building. Did they drop anything into those piles? Or did they do it later? Wait. There's no chain of custody here with them.
Wouldn't that be on videotape potentially?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're in a room.
They're in a room. Now we're going to start to plant the seeds of doubt by saying, hey, maybe they planted them. Now, I don't get it. Why would they have to plant documents he declassified? If they weren't classified and he declassified, what difference would it make? I mean, either they existed, but they weren't classified, or they didn't exist and they were planted. Which is it? I mean, in a criminal case, the defense and the prosecution both, if you're going to be successful, you pick a horse and ride it. I've seen a lot of defendants go to prison because at trial, their defense attorneys tried to ride multiple horses to the jury. Juries don't buy that. They don't buy the shotgun approach. They buy the does this make sense approach. And what the president just said there does not make sense. But again, this is not a guy who's making comments for any other purpose than to defend himself. Just himself. It's frustrating because, again, if this guy ended up being on the ballot against one of these other ideological wing nuts on the other side, I'd vote for him again just because I know the damage that's being done right now to America by the people in charge. And I don't want that. And even though I think that Trump in office would continue to view every single issue, every single decision as running through the how does this impact me first filter, I still think at the end of the day, man, this guy's decision making is far less damaging to America than what we have in there now. And the proof is just take a look at the border, take a look at the economy, take a look at energy, take a look at the future. I mean, come on. So this isn't about a never Trumper thing. So you can stop texting that in, whoever you are. This isn't about a never Trumper thing. This is about you can be better than this, man. Be better than this. Please don't make this a cult of personalities issue. Nonetheless, this is where we're at. And this leads me to the next shoe to drop. It's one of many shoes. There's almost like a centipede of shoes out there. Letitia James, she is the Democrat, I know that's a shocker, Attorney General for the state of New York. We have one here of a similar mindset, at least until January. And she said early on, I think even when she was campaigning, I'm going to get you, sucka. I mean, that was sort of the theme of the campaign was, I'm going to get you, Trump. I am going to look into you and your family and your corporate. And sure enough, 3 years later, a three-year-long investigation has resulted in the filing of not a criminal complaint, and I find that fascinating. I don't know the answer to why that is, but she's chosen a civil venue. Now, remember, discovery, that is the ability to get information from the other side, is different in a criminal case than it is in a civil. In some cases, especially if you're a defendant, you get everything from the government when you're accused of a crime. Everything. In a civil case, not so much. There is discovery to be had, and it's broader in this way. You can do depositions of people. You can ask the judge to order for certain documents and things like that. But it's a little bit different, and it's also more empowering for the plaintiff. The plaintiff has the ability to get way more in civil discovery than a prosecutor has in criminal discovery. The discovery owed under the rules and the laws to the prosecution from the defense is almost zero. And the reason it's almost zero is presumption of innocence. There's no presumption of innocence in a civil court because innocence isn't on the table. But here's what's interesting. That discovery that's generated in the civil court might end up finding its way, I know this is going to come as a shock, in a prosecutor's office, which they could then use for some sort of criminal prosecution if the statute of limitations is still alive. And it's different for the feds than it is for the state. So this is a little interesting. It's tactical, in my opinion, that Letitia James would do this. So she filed this giant lawsuit against the president, three of his children, and some other executives of his company. I'm going to tell you about the details of that lawsuit and some things that are interesting and also concerning about it in terms of timing, in terms of content, in terms of what is sought. But we're going to do that after we cut away for a break. And we're not going to cut away for a break until I tell you about Dave and his team out there at Urban Lights Denver. It is getting to be darker and darker every single day. Once we pass by that summer equinox, I think that's the right. Is it the equinox, Billy? You're smart. Is it the equinox or the something else? Yeah, solstice. Thank you. I knew it was going to be. And by the way, I love chips with my solstice. It's so delicious. But after the summer solstice, the days start getting progressively shorter. I'm feeling it already. It's 7:30, 7:15 as I'm throwing the ball out with Graham in the front of the house. I notice that lights haven't come on yet, and it's getting darker and darker. And when it gets darker on the outside, that means you got to turn on more lights on the inside. Lighting is going to be a big issue here, folks, for about the next 6 months as we wait for spring and summer to come back. You want to go to Lighting Experts. That's Urban Lights Denver. Now, I have driven by this place, as have you, 1,000 times. It's right off of Santa Fe, just south of I-25 between Mississippi and Florida. There's that McDonald's there that you can't stop. I see it every time I drive by on the way down to like ACC or Hudson Gardens or whatever. I've driven by it and never given it another thought. Well, guess who's right there in the giant parking lot behind it? Urban Lights. So I went there, met with Dave and the team. I went up the stairs into the 20,000 square foot award-winning, national award-winning showroom. And the things that you see there kind of blow your mind. It's not like just light bulbs, lamps, shades. That's some other place. Maybe that's online. You get the feel of everything. The way that technology has now allowed us to bend light to our will, to allow to have even like some sort of artistic aspect to the lighting that you have in your house. It could be your kitchen. It could be the front of your house. These folks have the ability not only for you to see it and touch it and feel it and compare it to other things, but they're local, right? If things go wrong, these are the folks you go to and say, hey, what about this? What about that? I changed my mind on this, rather than having to wait in line for some place and put it in the mail and wait for it to come back. And maybe you have to do it too. You just show up at Urban Lights. These folks make it all right. Here's the deal. They're offering incentives like 40% off of MSRP for lighting and decor. They even have discounts on their ceiling fans, and they got a billion of those things too. Take your time. Go out there. Walk up the stairs. Say hi. By the way, you're not going to be able to walk around without somebody coming up to you to see if you need help within, my guess is, the first 3 minutes. I think I was there 30 seconds when somebody came out from behind a desk and said, hey, what can I do to point you in the right direction? Happy to answer any questions. That is the kind of customer service you want. So go to Urban Lights, but check them out at urbanlightsdenver.com. That's your first stop. And then go out to the showroom. You're going to be blown away. You're going to end up doing business with these folks. And then you can text me and call me and say, so glad that George sent me there. Listen, when we come back, we're going to get into more of this Letitia James lawsuit against President Trump. And then, of course, a bunch of texts coming in about my little rant about that ridiculousness about I can just think my way to declassifying it. Anyway, George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. It is like the House of Pain right here at 710 KNUS. I got to tell you, tons of texts. Anytime that someone throws a little bit of shade at a guy who has a cult following, the cult shows up to throw punches back. I'm going to read you some of these. Believe me, I want to get to the Letitia James thing. Some of this stuff is just nuts. Here's one. There's nothing selfish about giving your life and family and time for the betterment of everyone in America. What have you done? Billionaire dude was president for 4 years, and he gave his life and his family for the betterment of everyone. And then the question, what have I done? I mean, it's obvious, of course, both President Trump and I spent time in Iraq. Oh, wait, maybe one of us did and the other one didn't. And we continue to serve in uniform after 30 years of raising our... No. Well, anyway, I'm not going to put myself in a position to say that I've done more than some other American for this. But when you try to call me out for this, let's go, man. Somebody try to tell me how what he has done is a real sacrifice. Are you crazy? Of course, he's been targeted by the mainstream media and some of the goofball lefties that were running the FBI. Of course he has. But are you kidding me? There's nothing selfish about giving your life and family. Texter out there, please find for me, text me in the thing he's done that was for someone, not himself, that did not work to, in fact, find me that thing where he did something that was against his own self-interests, but he did it because it was the right thing to do. Anybody that can text in, please find me that thing. Here's more people throwing punches at some other things. The National Archives branches all over the country, the regional aid offices in Brighton, the census section is still closed due to COVID-19. And to do the research on the papers generated, you must make appointments because they want to know what you want to know. That might be true. Here's one. You're kidding, right? The FBI has no credibility for being fair, truthful, or honest in any dealings with Donald Trump. So if he's asking to be defended, he should be, because the FBI practice. By the way, he hasn't been accused of a crime. Right? He hasn't been accused of a crime. Dude waves his arms and says, hey, everybody, look over here. The FBI is trying to search my house without raising public awareness of it. Take a look over here. And then when the information comes out, he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. Because the FBI, practically all media, big tech, and every single commie Democrat have sought to destroy him for 6 years or better. And do you remember the economy under Donald Trump? Listen, man. You can't win the argument about this guy's personality and his character and his focus on me by saying he did a great job as president. I don't disagree. I want the economy under President Trump right now. And I've already said repeatedly, if it comes down to him and Biden again, I got no hesitation in throwing a vote for the DJT. That doesn't answer this. That doesn't answer this. I guess we can add your name to the list of those who seek only his destruction and not the truth of the many things done to him and his family or anybody in his orbit. That's right. That's right, because we can only focus on Jesus Trump. That's the J, apparently. Donald Jesus Trump. We can only focus on him. He is flawless. He can never be held accountable for anything he's done because he's been wrong. My God, dude's a victim. That means he's free to do, say, act in any way he wants because the mainstream media and certain members of the FBI here are claimed to have targeted him. That's it. He's free from all scrutiny, all blame. Our principles are hijacked by his victimization. Good Lord. Well, he ran for president, and it is a big sacrifice, George. Yes, that's true. I get that it is a sacrifice. But this idea that that means that he made a running. Do you think that he ran for president because he was focused on the betterment of America? Or do you think he ran for president because dude wanted to be president? I think it's because he wanted to be president. I also think he really believed it was going to advance his name, ID, and his businesses. He never really thought he was going to win. But when he won, oh, yeah, baby, I'll take it. Yes, there are leftist archivists. They just posted signs at the National Archives about how the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration. Oh, there's a missing part of that text, man, so shoot it back in. Here's another one. This is about the Letitia James thing. Again, it's a political witch hunt. NPR George, that's this fool who won't identify himself, not bashing them because there is enough news to go around for them to work with, but going after Trump, conservative radio in name only, Rhino, the pay is though, right? I have no idea. Lot of word salad there, my friend. Get it together. Trump not only wanted the document, but he obviously wanted them kept secret or he would have released them. That's an interesting point. Here you go, Derpy Derp, archivist with a political bent. There's no better way to signal to me or really anyone else the lack of belief and confidence in your own argument than to throw in the name calling. That is just the biggest signal that, hey, listen, I really doubt the veracity of what I'm about to say. If I can just trash you in a Saul Alinsky way, I'm going to do it. Did I mention that I'm an this was about KJP again. You're never going to get me to agree that she was a smart hire. Even if you were giving her a chance for whatever reasons you thought were appropriate, she has proven herself incapable of rising to the level needed for that job. She's failing the White House. And when she fails the White House, she's failing us. Gotta go. That's my they just can't get her enough training. If she were on a professional sports team, they'd have sent her back down. They have labeled the papers listed above as dangerous. The Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence. I was just at the National Archives within the last couple of months. I saw no such sign. If the documents were declassified, why did he keep them locked up? That's a very interesting question. Why did he do it? Read the link, Dink. Oh, you know what? That helps. You've gone from Derpy Derp to Dink. Also, I think I'm going to be done reading yours because there's nothing of value there. Listen, let me get on. There's a bunch of callers on the line. I want to get to this Letitia James thing. I didn't want to save this for tomorrow, but we're running out of time here, and I want to honor the phone callers. That's just what we do here. John, you're on 710 KNUS. What are your thoughts?
Good morning, George.
Hey, sir.
You got a good show. I agree with you a lot. My question would be is why would a president want to keep classified material in his house anyway? What's he going to do with it?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see him, John, saying, I want to write my memoirs and I want to make sure that I have this information. But if that were the case, would it just be so easy when the archivist shows up to say, hey, we think you've got these, and be like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Can I please have authorized copies of them or can I please use them for my memoirs? Instead of being like, no, we don't have them. You can't have them. I'm not giving them back.
But this Letitia James thing?
Yeah.
I kind of agree with Trump. You know, I'm nowhere near what Trump does, but I've got quite a few real estate loans in my lifetime. Well, you got to have a little humor. The first thing they ask the loan officer, what do you think your house is worth? And I tell them, and then the wife next to me, oh, no, it's worth more than that. In the end, they send their own appraiser out.
Yeah, of course. Listen,
and everybody, my wife, she's John, sleeping now, but she will really inflate the property.
I wish I could get into the details of this. I am super skeptical of the motivations and substance of this 222-page diatribe against the president and this civil claim. I think it is subterfuge. I think it's an attempt. And thanks for your phone call, John. John's line is open at 303-696-1971. I think it's subterfuge. I think it's an attempt to influence the election in November. The timing of this makes no sense. Why today? Why not 2 months ago? Why not 2 months from now? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Ballots are about to be airborne here in a matter of weeks, and then all of a sudden this headline-grabbing thing takes place. I'd love to get into the details with you. Maybe I'll save it for tomorrow or another hour coming up when we can get to it. But this thing bothers me quite a bit in terms of what it does. There is one, and I'll read this to you now just because it's so offensive to me in terms of the idea of justice. This is the last paragraph before, and this is page 18 of 222, and sort of the overview, the synopsis. After going through all of this, Trump did this and Trump did that, and the people in his family, and they inflated the values, and they fraud. Keep in mind, when you and I think of fraud, we think of, hey, it hurt somebody. It caused somebody to lose something. And that's why fraud is bad in that context, right? Here's paragraph 24, page 18. It is no defense for claims for disgorgement under whatever the section is that the Trump Organization may have made all the payments due under the loans and insurance policies. What? We just ginned up a 222-page lawsuit to grab national, international headlines against a former president and the organization and his family. And we are tacitly admitting on paragraph 24 that nobody got hurt. Everybody got the money they agreed that they would get in exchange for the loans they made. Is that what, if you needed some reason to be super skeptical of the political nature of this, not truly justice seeking, it's in paragraph 24, folks. Now, I'll go through the rest of this with you. I'll save this for tomorrow and go through the details. I'm just telling you, the timing of this thing, the substance of this thing, this to me looks like a political outcome in search of a justification here. And the justification, I want to get him. I want to tear him down. I want to stop Republicans from doing well in the midterms. And this is how I'm going to do it. We have an attorney general like that here in the state of Colorado, at least till January. 303-696-1971. Going to get to one of our other fiery phone lines here. Ben, you're on 710 KNUS. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Donald Trump ran for office basically because he's, you know, a narcissist. And I remember kind of when he started doing all this campaigning and everything like that. And it was shortly after that White House press corps interview or the White House press corps conference, you know, where they kind of do like a roast and stuff. And Obama took a jab at him and he wasn't happy about it. And, you know, he's kind of a wimpy guy who can't, you know, keep his ego in check. So when that happened, that's when Donald Trump started like kind of getting on the trail.
Yeah, I worry that this, by the way, is not just Trump, that this is anybody who runs for president. And I'm interested in knowing if we could ever find anyone who's held the presidential office to say the words, I'm sorry, or I apologize, or I was wrong for something that they did or said in the past. I'd want to say there should be a book of those things. My guess is you couldn't fill up a pamphlet or a 3x5 card with those.
Obama did a 60-minute interview where he went over a lot of the regrets that he made during his administration and a lot of the things that he screwed up.
I'd love to see that and see how legitimate that is. Now, listen, I want to distinguish that from the apology tour that Obama went on across the world after getting elected, where he apologized for us and for America. That's not the same thing. If there's a 60-minute interview where he says, I was wrong when I did this, and not in that sarcastic, hey, I was wrong for trusting the Republicans, not like that. I'm talking about, I had a policy decision, I made a decision as an executive, and it was just wrong, and I regret that. I want to hear that, because I think those are moments of insight into that person. If you can find something, and I'm talking to the 710 listeners, if you can find something out there where President Trump has said, I was wrong, I made a mistake, I'd love to hear about it. We could do a whole show on it. I'm afraid we couldn't get through the first 5 minutes because ain't nobody got anything like that. Ben, I'm sorry. I love the phone call. I appreciate that. I want to hear from people who don't come from just one part of the ideological spectrum. That's what's magical about this show, is people's willingness to call in. Texts, about 99% of them are fantastic. Some of them are just these weak remaining anonymous name callers. You guys can drift away. It's irrelevant to me. But there are some very thoughtful, even pointed, and constructive criticism texts here. I try to read those as well on air, and maybe we'll do that when we come back. We are going to get caught up with our good friends at Alpine, though. They're going to make us smarter about what's going on in the financial markets, but not until we cut away. And the only time I can do that is right now. So pay attention. When we come back, it's you, me, it's the calls, they get priority, it's the texts, it's also our friends at Alpine Planning, George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Folks, buckle up. This is the magical part of this hour where we go to someone who's got the kind of expertise in the financial markets that I'm tingly right now thinking about. What are we going to hear that will bring a smile to our faces? There's nobody better on the planet Earth to do that than our friend Amy Duncan from Alpine Planning. Amy, no pressure, but the bar's been set high.
Well, George, I'll just take that baton and march with it, man.
At least you're not hitting me with
it. I'll just take that baton and march with it. Well, yes, good wet first day of fall, Thursday morning to you and all the listeners. And I'm going to stay on a positive note here, despite negative numbers. So anyway, currently we're starting off with a little bit of red on the board. S&P's off about 20. The Dow's off about 120, and the NASDAQ's down about 90 points. This is coming off yesterday. Most people probably already saw the news, but I do think it's important to hit on. The fifth interest rate hike of the year, raised by 75 basis points. That means the Fed funds rate is about 3.25%. And so basically this is the biggest policy change since the 1980s, seeing the Federal Reserve and these type of increases. And based on that, we saw a huge reversal in stocks yesterday. The Dow and S&P and everything were up in the morning, and then all three indices finished down by about 1.7%. So honestly, George, I'm a little weary of talking about interest rates and the Fed and everything, so I'm going to bring it high level to an article that I was reading yesterday talking about asset management. But I think it kind of correlates to, why people try to hire an advisor this day and age. And the three core competencies in a portfolio and in an advisor that they were speaking of were trust, simplicity, and efficiency. I think trust is kind of a given, but efficiency can be overlooked, right? How efficient is your strategy when it comes to maybe tax management or distribution through negative market cycles? And, you know, efficiency in terms of obviously a portfolio can be, excuse me, I'm going to move on to simplicity, George. I just got totally deviated by a five-year-old. So,
hey, that happens all the time. I hope you know who the five-year-old is.
Simplicity, right? How do you simplify a complex situation? And the end result for Brian, Gabe, and me at Alpine Planning is always one thing, and that's how do we make sure our clients are not going to run out of money, even in a negative market cycle. So, you know, a lot to watch, a lot of news, more importantly, a lot of negative news that people need to sift through. So let's keep the seatbelt on, keep a positive outlook. And if anyone would like some good, solid personal advice, please do call us.
Amy, I've got a question, and it's financial in nature, and that is when you have kids, small kids at home.
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me about life. Okay.
No. That's the next time you and I talk. No, this one's financial. You're raising kids. Do you do the allowance thing? Do you give them an allowance? Have you thought about that?
That's a great question. We have not really started that quite yet. And my answer is I absolutely believe in it, right? Because I think starting capitalism at an early age is an important trait, to be completely frank. But for us, George, it's not an excuse or anything. It's just, you know, starting kindergarten can be a big step, and too much change, not all of it soaks in the right way. So we've held off on that probably till the holidays.
And then what's the going rate, by the way? What
do
you think it is?
Your children?
Yeah, so,
oh gosh,
yes,
like a babysitter.
We have them earn things. I don't know that it's just like, hey, you get money for continuing to draw breath. I don't like that. There has to be some sort of chores or effort or maybe even grades. Whatever it is, I need them to associate a positive thing with a positive outcome. Like, you get this for that. Like, I don't want to just give them stuff. But there are things that we do when they're younger, and we don't do them anymore. And again, if you've got kids in the car, this might be an earmuffs moment a la old school, but the tooth fairy. Like, what we did the Tooth Fairy. Mm-hmm. I did the Tooth Fairy all the time. Do you guys do the Tooth Fairy? What's the going rate for an incisor or something?
This is so good for business for Alpine Planning Group. Let me tell you.
Listen, what we're talking about is all these kids.
Right, man? I was going to start with something as simple as like 50 cents because my daughter loves coins. I know that sounds super cheap. I think some parents give like $5.
No,
but I'm a big fan of starting off small and graduating into larger dollar denominations.
You know, I think,
cheap?
Amy,
am
you've
I cheap or am I
no? You've underestimated the tie-in with Alpine Planning because kids start accumulating wealth based on the loss of their dental work there. And then what do they do with that money? They come talk to mom, or they come talk to Uncle Brian or Uncle Gabe, and they sit down and figure out, do I start putting this into a Roth IRA? And then, boom, by the time they're in college or out of college, they're sitting on a nest egg a la mom and the Tooth Fairy. Boom, you're welcome right there.
Well, not to deviate and go too long, I'll wrap it up like this, but truly teaching good financial habits at a young age, you're exactly right, is very overestimated or very underestimated. And our most successful clients are those that have just had lifelong saving habits, right? It's not always about the amount of money that one has accumulated. It's rather about the distribution rate. So more power to you, Mr. Bruckler. Well done.
I appreciate
it.
Sorry
if I disclosed a little too much personal
information. No, you didn't. And that's the goal here is we want you to reveal every single deep, dark secret that you have over the course of these interviews. So next time it'll be about your biggest regret from college. I don't want you to give that up right now.
It'll be Santa Claus.
You know, like Santa Claus. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. These are just good people working on retirements for other good people. It's fantastic. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Any financial planning issues that you have, you would start right here. Call them today at 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Amy, thanks so much.
Thank you, George.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
We've got time for to just read you a couple texts here before we get to the top of the hour. Someone else who says, I said the New York AG lawsuit is so, this is in a text. I respond to the text, folks. Is questionable. The timing alone is ridiculous. Begs the question, when George returns to politics, that's if, what will he be indicted for? I'm not sure they're going to wait for me to run for office before I get indicted, and frankly, it'll probably be deserved. Someone else saying that the National Archives has labeled the U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence harmful or dangerous. I don't know. I'd want to take a look at that. Ben is such a bummer. The only reason that the press secretary, okay, got that. Listen, all of these things have a relatively similar feel to them. And there was someone that talked about, too, like, hey, the Dow has lost all of its gains since Donald Trump. I'd take him over the current occupants of the White House. I get it. It's just not relevant to the question of what do you do with a guy who makes the kinds of statements that the president has made, which is, I just wantonly declassify a whole bunch of documents when I move them from the White House to Mar-a-Lago. That's a statement of self-interest. That's a statement of look at me, protect me, defend me, I've done nothing wrong. That's not a statement that puts any of the security issues related to those documents, the process that applies to every other human being in the government to those documents. It doesn't do anything. It's just self-preservation. And that's all you ever get. It's just frustrating. Doesn't mean I wouldn't vote for this guy again, especially given the alternatives. We'll continue to talk about that after we get back through the top of the hour. Listen, until that time, you are listening to me. My name's George Bruckler on The George Show, and you're listening to the powerful 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.